These people are way too quiet, these young people. You see, they tell them in the school the whole time to be quiet. Now they come to church, they think this is school. This is not school. You see, I've got a very low self-esteem. Okay, let me just put it out there. I need people to boost my image all the time. So when I tell jokes this morning and it's not that funny, just laugh anyways. The Lord will understand. Okay. It's fine. It's not lying. It's fine. Okay. And if I say something that I think is really good, then just go, yo, that's good. That's truth. Okay. Even if you don't think it's that good. Are you with me this morning? Awesome stuff. Okay, cool. We don't have so much time this morning. And I really feel like I want to get through what God has laid upon my heart. Like the guys have said, I'm from Stellenbosch. I'm originally from Johannesburg. Amen. So I'm a little bit gangster. Okay, I'm just kidding. But what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to preach to you a message entitled, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And I really believe with all of my heart that it is important that when we come to church, we make very, very sure that we lift up the name of Jesus above everything else. Amen? Because ultimately, it is only Jesus that can save us. It is only Jesus that can give us purpose. It is only Jesus that can transform our lives. It's not Jesus and other stuff. I loved what the lady was saying about the offshoots. It's not Jesus and other things. It is Jesus in Himself that will get us to where we need to go to. Are you with me this morning? You know, people say sometimes things like, man, I don't want to become a Christian because I don't want to use Jesus as a crutch. You know what I'm saying? And I always laugh when people say that because I'm like, you know what? Jesus is not my crutch. He's my wheelchair. You know what I'm saying? Because if I need a crutch, that means there's still a little bit of something left on the inside of me, but I don't want anything left of me. I want everything of Him this morning. Because when I'm in the picture, I make mistakes. Are you with me? I am a married man. And my wife reminds me very often of the fact that I make mistakes. And the married men said, amen. It is so funny. I know that I've got a message that is unbelievable when my wife says to me, that is good. It's so funny. Sometimes I'll run to her before I want to preach something. I'm like, honey, I've got this cool message. And I'll read her the scripture and I'll tell her what I'm thinking. And she'll go, yeah, that's an old scripture. I've heard that a million times before. So what? I'm like, no, but honey, don't you see? It's so profound. She's like, no, Mark, it's not that profound. I'm like, okay, thanks, honey. I love you. Thanks for keeping me humble. Okay, so what I want to talk about this morning is I want to talk about the fact that Jesus is the answer. And I want you to come with me to the best book in the Bible. A couple of years ago, they did a study. They got a whole bunch of scientists together in a room and they examined every single book of the Bible. And they found that this particular book is more spiritual than any other book. They say that if this was the last book left, this would be the one you would want. So turn with me to the book of Mark this morning. Yes, I've got jokes. White boy's got swag. Amen. Okay, cool. I'm going to read quite a lot this morning from Mark 2, verses 1 to 12. I'm going to read quickly this morning. This is a story that you've probably heard a couple of times before, but I am going to tell the story a little bit differently this morning, and I'm going to take some stuff out of the story, and we're going to look at certain things. And let's start reading chapter 2, verses 1, and it says, and again he entered Vintook. I'm changing it. Taking license here this morning. Lord forgive me, I've changed it from Capernaum to Vintook. And again he, Jesus, entered Vintook after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Somebody say, Jesus is in the house. Come on now. Just help a preacher out, yeah? Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Somebody say, four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Listen to this morning. This is important. I'm going to come back to this. And it says here, verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that these reasons thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. I want to say to you this morning that when you allow Christ the space to work in your life, there are going to be many moments where you are going to think to yourself, I have never seen anything like this. Because I want to say to you this morning that certain things might be impossible with man, but nothing is impossible for our God. Amen? Amen. Amen. So what happens in this little story this morning is that Jesus is preaching. And the place is filled up and everybody's excited and they're doing a little bit of church. And what happens is that four guys arrive with their friend. Their friend can't walk. He's paralyzed. So they're carrying him on a bed. And when they want to come through the front door, the doors are filled. Nobody can get in. I don't know about you this morning, but if it was me trying to get to church and the church was full, I probably would have gone home. Say, that's bad. That's bad. Come on now. That's bad. Come on. That's bad. That's probably what I would have done. But that's probably one of the reasons why I'm not in the Bible, but these four guys are. Because these four men come to the entrance. There's a blockage. There's a hindrance. There's a distraction. And I love what they do. They don't turn around and walk away. They say to themselves, we will not let anything stop us from getting ourselves into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. So what happens is they climb on top of the roof. They break the roof open. Okay, these guys are from Joburg, okay? They're from South Africa. They are from Johannesburg. They've got no manners. They somehow do crime at church. No problems, okay? And they break the roof open and they drop this guy through the ceiling. And as Jesus sees what they are doing, Jesus heals this man. And everybody is amazed, saying they've never seen anything like this. What I want to do this morning is I'm going to take four things out of this story. And as we break the story down, I'm going to give you some things to think about this morning. First thing I want to speak about this morning is the fact that the Bible says that these four guys had a problem. These four guys had a problem. How many of you know that they had a friend that had a problem and that problem became their problem? And they tried whatever it is they could to solve that problem. I want to speak to you a little bit this morning about the fact that all of us will face tests and trials within our lives. Are you with me this morning? All of us are going to have problems. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter how much money you have or how little money you have, okay? It doesn't matter what great family you come from or what poor family you come from. The reality is this morning that it doesn't matter who you are, problems will come in your life. The question is not this morning, are problems going to come or are problems not going to come? But the question is, where do you take your problems when they arrive at your doorstep? Are you with me this morning? Because they will come. You know, it's interesting for me that sometimes in church, I believe that sometimes, specifically in charismatic circles, what we tell people is that if you receive Jesus into your life, then everything is going to be perfect from that moment on. You're going to wake up in the morning and birds are going to fly into your window and go chirp, 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 and everything's going to be perfect and you're just going to fly on a cloud to school and you're going to get that boyfriend you've wanted for the last 20 years and it's all going to work out. McDonald's will come to Windhoek. It's going to be great, okay? But the reality is this morning that whether you're a Christian or not, we all faced trials and tests, amen? We're all going to go through the fire in our lives, amen? The difference is, though, this morning, that when we as Christians go through the fire, the Bible says that we are not alone. When we go through the fire, we are with the Messiah. Amen? Amen. And the devil's a liar. Let me cut a rap album. Yo, okay. Let me give you some rhymes, okay? But the Bible says that the fires will come. In the book of James, the Bible says that rejoice in the midst of tests and trials. Man, I love what the Bible says here. The Bible doesn't just say that tests and trials are going to come. It actually says be happy when they come. Rejoice. Man, that's a weird piece of scripture. Huh? Can you imagine you driving, your car gets a flat tire, and as the car gets a tire, you get out of your car, you're like, yes, another flat tire. Amen. Yes. Woo! 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 Can you imagine? Your boyfriend comes to you and he says, it's over. We're not going to date anymore. And you're like, yeah, baby. Woo-hoo. Okay. You're like, greatest day ever. Why? Because this is what the Bible says. The Bible says rejoice in the midst of tests and trials because the testing of your faith will produce patience. And that will lead to you getting to a place where you are perfect and lacking nothing. Who would like to be perfect in this place? Outside of me, because I'm already perfect. Okay. Anybody else? Who would like to lack nothing? Amen. Yeah, come on, come on, come on. Well, you're not going to get there on a golden, perfect, super tube road. Okay? You're going to get there through the tests and the trials that come through life. But sometimes we want to tell ourselves that, hey, there are other people that are better off. Listen, it's so funny. We seem to think that, oh man, all I need is a lot of money and then all my problems will go away. But you know what's funny? Rich people sit around and they go, all I need to do is make sure I keep all my money. Then my problems will go away. Everybody's stressing about something. Are you with me? Life is never perfect. So the question is, where do you take your tests and trials when they come? Do you take them to stress and anxiety this morning? And if you're anything like me, the sad thing is that what tends to happen in my life is that when tests and trials come, when things don't work out in my life, it is so sad, but I often tend to run everywhere else before I come to God first. Isn't it funny that when things go wrong, we want to figure out how to solve the problem in our own ability, in our own strength? You know, when the car breaks down, I need a little bit of extra money, I'll often ask myself the question, oh my word, I need 3,000 rand. How am I going to raise this money? I wonder if I can go back to the modeling agency and just take some photos. You know what I mean? Just what will they actually give me? Are you with me? I don't really go to a modeling agency. I'm just kidding right now. But I'm glad that you believe me. Amen. Sarcasm is really bad. I'm so sorry. Amen. Lord, just deliver me from the sarcastic story of man. Okay, I want to show you a scripture here. Come with me to Matthew. Matthew 6, verses 33. Great scripture. And I'm going to show you something here that you've probably never seen before. It's a scripture that we all know. But it's a scripture that I'm going to give you a little bit in a different context here this morning. But Matthew 6, verses 33, and listen to what it says here. I'm going to start reading because if I had to wait for some of you to get there, we would be here till next week. Amen? I get so nervous when people open up their Bibles and dust and moth fly out of it. Anyways, not saying that's you. Again, I'm just kidding. You're all out to laugh. Amen. Okay, Matthew 6, verses 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day of its own trouble. And I love what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying, listen, problems come all the time. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about tomorrow. Deal with each thing as it comes because you're not going to solve the problems of tomorrow by worrying about it today. But what I want to focus on is verse 33. And listen to what it says here. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added to you. I remember when I first became a Christian and when I first got saved, I would read this piece of scripture and it actually would not encourage me very much. It would actually kind of make me feel a little bit worried because I remember reading that piece of scripture and understanding the piece of scripture saying that seek first the kingdom of God means that I have to be perfect as a Christian. That's how I remember reading it. I remember thinking what the Bible is saying is that if I do everything perfect, if I never make a mistake, if I never think a bad thought, if I read my Bible 100 hours a day, if I've got mountain-moving faith, if I fast and pray, if I do all these things, that is what seeking the kingdom looks like. If I can do that, and if I can be righteous, because listen to what it says here, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So if I can be righteous, then all these things will be added to me. The word righteousness means to be in right standing with God. Are you with me? The word righteousness means that God is not upset with you. He is not angry with you. He is not disappointed with you. There are times in life where you are in right standing with people, and there are times where you are not in right standing with people. There are times where I am in right standing with my wife, and then there are times where I'm not in right standing with my wife. In those times, I have to sleep on the couch. That is why when we bought a couch, I bought a nice big one that feels like a bed. So when she says to me, go to the couch, I get quite excited because it's kind of like a camping trip for me. But listen to what it says here. It says here, but seek first the kingdom of God. I went and I studied out that word kingdom. And you are going to be amazed when you find out this morning what that word really means. The word kingdom means, when we speak about the kingdom of God, we are speaking about the King and His presence. Okay? When we speak about the kingdom, we are speaking about the King and we are speaking about His presence. Okay, this piece of scripture in particular, right here in this context, has very little to do with you and what you're doing and what you're not doing. It has to do with getting yourself in a place where you are in the King's presence and you are surrounded by His presence. Check this out this morning. Check what it goes on to say. But first, seek first the kingdom. I'm going to change that by saying this morning, but seek first the King and His presence and His righteousness. Let me ask you this question. Is this piece of scripture saying you must seek your righteousness? Just read it again. Just make sure. Just make sure I'm not busy selling you baloney here. What does it say? It says, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So what this scripture is saying here this morning is that we need to get ourselves into the presence of the King. We need to get ourselves at Jesus' feet. And when we get ourselves there, we must not focus on our righteousness, but we must focus on His righteousness. The Bible says this morning that He is in right standing with God. Are you with me? The Bible goes on to say in the book of John, 1 John, it says, as He is, so are we in this world. So in other words, when we come into His presence, it's not about us. It's about Him. It's about His goodness. It's about His greatness. It's about His love. It's about His forgiveness. Are you with me this morning? And so often in church, we make it about ourselves. Can you see that this morning? I hope you can see it this morning. Because the problem is we limit ourselves. We trip ourselves. We don't give ourselves access to the throne room of grace. We don't come boldly to where God is because we put the focus on our performance. Are you with me? Seek first the King and His presence and put your focus on His righteousness. Then what does it say? All these things shall be added to you. Are you with me this morning? Okay. Stick with me this morning. Second thing I want to bring out of the story this morning is the crowd stood in their way. There was a crowd in their way, and we said this a little bit earlier, but I love how these four men were on their way to Jesus. They wanted to get to the King and His presence. They wanted to put their friend and their problems and their burdens in front of Jesus. And what happens is on their way there, there's a problem. Isn't it amazing? And maybe I'm the only guy here. You've got to help me out here this morning. But isn't it amazing how whenever you want to get yourself in the presence of God, isn't it amazing that life will always send a crowd? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how there's always hindrances? There's always things happening. It amazes me. Have you ever been in intercessory prayer where as you start praying, every guy in the room has a cell phone that starts to ring? Are you with me? Even the guy that doesn't have a cell phone starts ringing. It's unbelievable. His belt buckle starts going, okay? It's like, what's happening here right now? You know, when I read this, I thought about the fact that the Bible, that in this story, there's a crowd that stands in the way. And I started thinking about times where I went to sporting events. Who likes sports in this place? Yeah, come on. Who's ever been to a soccer match or a rugby game or a cricket game? I've been to quite a few, and during the World Cup in 2010, I had the honor and the privilege to go to a couple of soccer games, and the Fufuzelas. Okay, remember that? That was such a blessing, amen. A million decibels in your ear was fantastic. I'm being sarcastic again, I'm sorry for that. It was awful. Okay, all the buzzing in your ear, you went home with a headache, it was awful. But there's two things that I've noticed about going to a sporting event. The first one is that it's very noisy. The minute there's a big crowd, there's a lot of noise. The second thing I've come to realize is that it's very busy. Are you with me? Nobody's sitting still. There's one guy up, another guy walking, another guy screaming, another guy shouting. There's a whole bunch of things going on. So I want to say this to you this morning. I believe with all my heart that it is in those times where we want to give ourselves over to Christ. It is in those times where we want to be in His presence. Two things will come as a distraction. The first one is busyness. Are you with me this morning? Busyness will come to distract you. Isn't it amazing how for some reason everything else becomes important when it comes to you actually spending time with the Lord? Okay, I'll tell you what I mean by this, okay? And again, I'll use myself as an example because you guys seem to be further ahead in this thing than I am. But here's the deal. You'll come home and you'll say to yourself, man, I'm going to spend a little bit of time in the Word this morning. And isn't it funny how everything must be perfect before you pray? Oh man, the chair has to be perfect. Oh yes, comfortable. Then you sit down and your pants is a little bit uncomfortable and you're like, no, I don't like these pants. Let me go get just more comfortable pants. You know, when I spend time with the Lord, I really want to be comfortable. And then you kind of sit down and you go, I can't pray when I'm thirsty. Let me just go get a glass of water quickly. I just need a perfect glass of water. Then you sit down and you go, is the window open? Is that window open? I don't want to get sick this morning while I'm spending time with the Lord. Let me just quickly go close the window. And it's so funny because I will walk into the house and turn on the TV and the rugby is on and it's like, oh my word, there's rugby on. I just need to find a seat. I actually went and I sat on my two-year-old baby the other day while the Lions were playing. I'm like, out of the way, woman. I just want to sit. Okay, it's so funny. And I heard like a screaming after 5 minutes. I'm like, what's that noise? Oh, it's a child. Okay, cool. You know what I mean? But isn't it funny how you just want to be... The other thing I've noticed when it comes to prayer time is my wife will say to me, Mark, please fix the shower. It's runny again. And I'll be like, yes, babe, I love you. Yes, I'll do it. Yes, I'm your man. I'm going to do it. Yeah, well, and 3 days will go by, and 4 days will go by, and 5 days will go by. And I just don't do it. I just keep on procrastinating. I'm more of a last minute kind of a guy, okay? I just do well when there's pressure on me. But anyways, so I just leave it and I don't do it. And eventually I sit down to pray and I'm like, okay, water perfect, window closed. And then as I'm about to read my Bible, this will happen. But the Bible says I have to be a good husband. Good Lord. I can't be spending time with the Lord now and the shower is leaking. I better do that first. Let me get up and let me go fix the shower. And isn't it funny how when it comes to spending time with the Lord, we almost find that everything else sometimes takes priority over spending time with Him. I've come here this morning to say the following to you. There's nothing more precious. There's nothing more valuable. There's nothing that is going to add more to your life than putting aside everything else. Take the to-do list and kind of push it aside and allow God to just do something in your life when you spend a bit of time with Him. Amen. We've heard the story of Mary and Martha where Martha is running around. She's trying to do all this stuff. She's busy. She's trying to get the house organized. And Mary just comes and she sits at the feet of Jesus. And I love how Jesus says, but she has chosen the right way. She is prioritizing me above everything else. I want to say to you this morning that it is when we spend that time with Him, it doesn't matter how busy your day is. I have found that when I put Him first, when I give Him that space in my life, it's amazing how God almost makes up the other time. Isn't it amazing? Things just go smoothly. The traffic isn't as bad. My boss isn't as irritating. Things just seem to have a rhythm to it when you put the Lord first. The other thing that I have found that will become a distraction is noise. Noise. It's the busyness of life and it is the noise of life. I want to say this to you guys this morning. I believe that as a generation, one of the biggest challenges we are facing is this. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. BlackBerry is a problem. iPhone and Samsung is a lot better. No, that's not at all where I was going with it, okay? We are a generation that has a lot of voices speaking to us, more so than any other generation. And I know, you know, I know we look in history and we saw that there was a time that Christians were being fed to the lions and there were some really tough times. But I believe that we are challenged more than almost any other generation in the sense that God's voice in our lives are being challenged by all kinds of other voices. Isn't it amazing how just busy life is? Man, you got Facebook and Twitter and WhatsApp and BBM and I mean, there's a million things going on. You've got internet and a laptop and the TV and the radio and streaming on your cell phone and billboards and advertisements and clothing even, brands. I mean, there are so many voices coming at us as young people and just all over the place that our biggest challenge is to just get to that place where we put aside all the other voices and we actually hear what the Lord is trying to say to us. I'm going to show you something quickly here this morning, and I'm not going to be too much longer. I'm going to ask the band quickly to come. But I've got to show you this, because when you see this, it'll really show you something this morning. Quickly come this morning, band. And the piano is there. Fantastic. I need drums. Fantastic. I've got a cool electric guitar here this morning. Fantastic. And this is what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to show you a quick little illustration about how the voice of God works in our lives and just some of the challenges that we face. Because remember, when we want to get to Him, there's always a crowd. Now, the first thing is busyness. The second thing is noise. So what I'm going to do is, it's Harry, right? Harry, my man, Harry. Okay, this is how it's going to work this morning, Harry. You are going to represent the voice of God in my life, okay? You look very confused. I know. So what you're going to do is you're just going to play a soft, beautiful melody this morning. Okay? Okay, you can go for it. Just go, just hoy. Oh, magic. Okay, you can stop now. Fantastic. Great. Okay, so this is how this is going to work. So you are going to represent the voice of God in my life. You're going to represent stress and anxiety and, you know, just problems. And you look like a problem guy. So he looks like a bit of a rebel, okay? So you are just the stress in my life. You are going to represent this morning my cell phone, Facebook, Twitter, WhatsApp, okay? You're going to represent all of that stuff. And you, my friend, you are going to represent DSTV. It's a distraction. I'm not going to lie to you. The amount of reality shows that I should not be watching is ridiculous. It's a distraction. So here's how this is going to work. It's early in the morning, and I give myself over to the Lord, and I spend a little bit of time with Him, and He starts speaking to my life. Go, Harry. Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, man, but I'm so stressed out about my job right now. What am I going to do about my job? I'm so stressed out. Just keep on playing, Harry. Don't stop playing. Just keep on playing. You just keep on playing. Don't stop playing. But I'm so stressed about my job. Stressed. I'm really stressed. Oh, I'm so stressed. Yemel, I wonder what's happening on Facebook. Stop the DSTV. The Lord says this morning, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you this morning. His voice is always with us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God this morning. Amen. And His voice is always active. He always wants to be in relationship. He always wants to connect. The Bible says this morning that even if you choose to make your bed in hell, I will be there. My hand is not too short that I cannot reach you, says the Lord this morning. But the problem is there's too much noise. Are you with me? Yo kopras, sela. There's too many other things going on. And I believe that as a generation, our biggest challenge is put off the TV, turn off the radio, put the cell phone aside for 5 minutes. Stop listening to all the other voices and let the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords speak into your life. Thank you so much this morning, Ben. Amen. Check this out. Proverbs 3 verses 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Okay? And this is very difficult for us to do because we're very clever. We're very intellectual. Okay, we are the generation of knowledge is power. The more we know, the more we figure things out, the more practical we get, the more we can have the answers. But that's not where God speaks. He doesn't speak to you there. He speaks to you in your heart. And this morning, the hardest thing at times is to quiet the mind. Make it quiet so that you can hear what God is trying to say to you. Amen? Okay, so number one this morning, we all face problems. Number two this morning, there was a crowd that stood in the way. Number three, Jesus saw their faith. And I've got to show you something here this morning because this is so cool. Come back to Mark chapter 2 with me. Mark chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verse 4, and you've got to actually see this for yourself because this is really cool. Listen to what it says here. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, listen to me this morning. I don't know about you, but am I missing something in this story? Does the Bible say that they came before Jesus and they gave Jesus 100 scriptures? Does the Bible say that these four guys were the most amazing four Christian guys that have ever lived in the history of the Bible? The Bible doesn't say anything about these four guys. We don't know who these guys are. And I said this in the first service. For all we know, these four guys were bank robbers and they needed the fifth guy to get healed because he was the getaway driver. Are you with me? We don't know. Okay, I'm being a bit ridiculous this morning. I tend to be a bit ridiculous at times. But the reality is that we don't know who these guys are. We don't know how spiritual they are. We don't know how great they are, how weak they are. We don't know the problems they have and the problems they don't have. The Bible doesn't say that when they get before Jesus, they do five Hail Marys and a tap dance and anoint him with oil. The Bible says that as they come into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he sees their faith. I want to say to you this morning that at times in the church, we have made it that getting to Jesus is only half the battle. When we get into his presence, there's a whole bunch of things that we have to do. There's a whole bunch of expectations that we have to meet. And what's happened is that we have at times cheated ourselves from just getting into the presence of the King because we think he might not accept us. Because we think maybe we're not spiritual enough. Because we think maybe we don't know the Bible enough, or maybe we don't have enough answers. I want to say to you this morning that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from this morning. It doesn't matter how big the giants are that you are facing. I don't care how ashamed you feel about your own situation. Just get yourself into his presence. Because it's his presence that changes lives. It is his presence that enables us, that equips us, that empowers us. It is his presence that produces purpose. It is his presence that produces peace. It is his presence that will produce a holiness in your life. Are you with me this morning? Just get into his presence. Don't allow the crowds to stand in the way, but get yourself into the presence of the King. Now, I want to show you something this morning, and we're almost done. Give me another 5 minutes and we're going to be done. But I want to show you something so cool about this because it says here that he saw their faith. And I'm a young guy that grew up in a faith church, faith circles. And I remember growing up and hearing about faith. I remember thinking that the only way I could have great faith is that it's my job. I have to have faith. I have to produce faith. Are you with me? So I made faith all about me. So what I would do is I would literally do something like this. Okay, this is silly, but this is what I would do. Lord, I'm trusting you now that this cell phone is going to disappear in my hands. Okay, Lord. I've got faith. Disappear. Okay, Lord, I'm seeing an empty hand. Okay, Lord, I'm seeing a cell phone disappear. Okay, Lord. Okay, oh man, I can't do it. There must be something wrong with me. I don't have enough faith. Maybe it's because I got into a fight the other day with this guy that cut me off in traffic. I just can't do it. I just can't move the cell phone. And here's the problem. What we've done at times is that we have made faith all about us. But I want to show you something this morning that is going to be really cool. Come with me in your Bibles to Mark 4. And I'm going to show you something here this morning. I want to say to you this morning that our faith is found not in us, but our faith is found in the person of who Jesus Christ is. Are you with me this morning? When we see him as he is, he sees us in our faith. Okay, just hang with me. Some of you are going, okay, where is he getting this from? Just hang with me for a second. Mark 4, verses 35, and it's the story of Jesus calming the waves. And look at what happens here. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat, and so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, this is the piece of scripture I want you to hear this morning. This is profound. Check this out. So the disciples are in a boat. It's busy storming. Jesus is in the boat. They wake him up, and this is what they say to him. Listen to this. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Listen to this. Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Why is it that you have no faith? And I remember reading this story for the first time, thinking to myself, man, Jesus is being pretty harsh with these guys. I mean, think about it. There's this great storm that arises, and Jesus is saying to them, hey, man, why didn't you calm the storm? Why did you wake me up? I was having a great dream, sleeping like a, why did you wake me up? And I used to think to myself, man, that is pretty hectic. But here's the crunch in the story. Jesus was not upset for them for not calming the storm. Jesus was upset with them because they did not identify him properly. Look at this. Look at what happens here. And as they wake him up, they say to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Can I ask you a question here? What did Jesus come to do? Okay, I can ask a two-year-old, what did Jesus come to do? And they will say, he has come to save us. Let me ask you this question. If Jesus stepped out of heaven, came to the earth, took on the form of his own creation, went to the cross to die for you and for me so that we might not perish but have everlasting life, do you think the question, do you not care that we are perishing, is an accurate question? That is the stupidest question on the face of the planet. I mean, can you imagine Jesus being woken up to the people closest to him, and they basically say to him, do you not care what happens to us? Do you know what was happening in this piece of scripture? They were not only asking him a question, but they were sending him a message that they don't have any cooking clue who he is. If you have to go to Jesus and say to him, do you not care that I'm perishing? Don't you think that's a bit of a cheap question? He gave his life for you. Amen. There's nobody that cares more about you than him. And now you go to him and say, don't you care? You see, what you're doing is that you're showing that you don't really know who he is. And as these disciples misunderstand who Christ is, he turns around and he says, you have no faith. Check this out. I'm going to show you another story, and I'm almost done this morning. Matthew 8, come quickly. Matthew 8. We find faith in who Christ is. Look at this story. Matthew 8, verses 5 to 13 this morning. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Then the centurion, check this out, because here's the crunch of the story. Then the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he does. And to the other, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. What is the difference between the two stories? In the one story, the disciples misunderstand who Christ is as a person. They miss it. They don't see him as the Savior. But in this story, a man that's not even a Jew, he's not even a disciple, comes up to Jesus and he recognizes in Christ his lordship. He recognizes that Jesus is a man with authority. He recognizes that, wait a minute, this is not just some person I'm talking to. This is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. He identifies who Christ is. And Jesus turns around and says, greater faith than this is I not found. What's the difference between the two stories? The difference is that the one group of people saw Christ as he is. The one group of people did not see him for who he is. This morning I want to say to you that your faith is not dependent always on all the things you're doing and not doing. It's dependent upon you coming to Christ and seeing him for who he is. Because when you see him for who he sees you in your faith. Hebrews, quickly. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, and I said this in the first service, this book in the Bible proves that God is not anti-coffee, because Hebrews. Okay. That was very lame. I'm sorry. I give up. I thought I was a funny guy before the service. I'm so happy that Vintook has shown me I'm in fact not funny at all. Okay, Hebrews 12 verses 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Unbelievable piece of scripture. Paul is saying here, listen, put aside all the sin, run your race, accomplish the purpose that God has for your life. But how am I going to do it? Verse 2, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. How do we run this race? We run this race by not looking to the left, not looking to the right, not even looking to ourselves. We run this race by putting our eyes firmly upon Jesus and who he is. Why? Because he is the beginning. He is the end. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the author and he is the finisher of your faith. It starts with him, it middles with him, and it ends with him. Are you with me this morning? Man, I need to get the tape. This is good preaching. I'm going to buy my own tape. Listen to it. Last thing this morning. Number one, we all have problems. Number two, there's always a crowd in the way. Number three, he saw their faith. And number four this morning, he gives the man grace. He gives the man grace. Come back with me to Mark 2. And this really is the last thing I'm going to do. And then we're done this morning. Mark 2, this is so amazing. Just look at what happens here. Mark 2. And they're busy lowering this guy down. He's lying on a bed. He's a paralytic. They are trusting the Lord for a healing. And look at what happens here. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Whoa. Wait up. Let's hold the bus here. Okay. Let me, you know, sometimes we read things in the Bible and we just don't see it for what it is practically. Can you imagine? There's a guy standing in the front, and he's the big pastor, prophet, evangelist, and you have a leg that is in pain, and you start walking from the back with your leg, and you finally make it to the front, and you're standing there, and you're ready for this guy to lay hands on you to get healed, and this is what he says, "Yes, Lord, we come against that spirit of lust in his life. You are forgiven of lust. You can go sit down." What? I can actually see in the story, as the guys lower the guy down, I can actually see Jesus going, "Hey, your sins are forgiven you." I can actually see the four guys going, "What did he just say? His sins are forgiven. Have we not made it clear enough that this guy needs a healing? Are you with me?" I can actually see the one guy saying to the other guy, "I told you we needed to make a sign. I told you. Did I not tell you that we needed to put big in lights, Jesus, please heal this guy?" And then the other guy goes, "It's pretty obvious. He's lying on a mat and we're carrying him. Either he's a king or he's a paralytic. Come on." Okay? But check this out. And Jesus goes on to say the following. He says this, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." Here's the deal this morning. Everything in our lives stems out of a place of understanding that we are loved, we are forgiven, we are sanctified, and we belong to Jesus. Every other thing comes out of a place of, it is the fruit, it is not the root. And what Jesus is doing here is he goes, what this man is dealing with is a side effect. I'm not going to deal with the side effect. I'm going straight to the cause. I'm going to forgive this man And I'm going to show him that I love him, that I accept him, that he's a part of the family. As he understands that, everything else flows out of that place. Are you with me this morning? It comes out of that place this morning. You know, it's kind of like this. And sometimes people say the following to me. They'll say to me, Pastor Mark, can you please come and preach at our high school? We would love for you to come and just talk to the young people. Then I'm like, yeah, cool, man, I'll come. Then they'll say this to me. But can you please talk about why sex before marriage is wrong? And then I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, I'll do that. No problem. But then they'll say this to me. But there's a little bit of a problem. Don't speak about Jesus. Just come in and talk about not having sex. Don't speak about Jesus. Then what I very politely do is I say to them, this is a waste of my time, and this is a waste of your time, and this is a waste of everybody's time. Why? Because it is Christ. It is His love. It is His grace. It is His forgiveness that empowers us, equips us, and enables us to live a life of holiness. There is no holiness outside of Christ. And if you think that you can do it, you are deceiving yourselves and the truth is not within you. Are you with me this morning? It is only by Him this morning. It is only through Him this morning. And it is as we come to Him this morning, and it is as we go through the things we go through, it is as we put ourselves in His presence, what are we going to find when we come to His presence? We are going to find His love. We are going to find His forgiveness. We are going to find His grace. Amen. When these men get into God's presence, He sees their faith, and what's the first thing He does? As He forgives them and He accepts them. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of the woman caught in the act of adultery. And what happens in the story is they catch this woman. They catch her in the bedroom somewhere. They rough these oaks. They take her. They hoy her in front of Jesus. Okay? There's no debating here. There's no disputing that she's wrong. Okay, she's wrong. She's in the wrong. And these guys say, Jesus, the law says that we need to stone this lady. And it's not talking stone as in smoking. It's talking actually throwing rocks at this lady. They want to kill her. And what Jesus does is He said, let the guy without sin throw the first stone. And what happens in the story is that everybody leaves. And this is the important part of the story. Jesus looks at this woman. She is guilty. She's not sort of guilty. She's not maybe guilty. She's guilty. And what does He say to her? He says to her, woman, where are those who persecute you? And she says, they've left. And He says the following, neither do I condemn you. But go now and sin no more. What comes first? Sin no more, or I love you, I accept you, and I forgive you. You see, because it's that love, it's that forgiveness, it's that grace that enables and that empowers us to go and live a life free of sin, free of worry, free of stress. Are you with me this morning? Last scripture for the morning, and then I'm done. One of my favorite scriptures, 1 John 4 verses 19 says the following. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. You know, I love it. I love it when people say this, and I've heard people say this in church. Sometimes when somebody's struggling in church, or when somebody's backslidden, what people will say to that person is, you need to go back to your first love, is what people say. And then the guy walks away and he goes, yeah, you're right. I need to go back to my first love. I need to love God the way I once loved Him. How many of you know this morning that that's not the first love? The first love is not your love for Him. The first love is His love for you. So when we go back to our first love, we go back to the place where we understand that He loves us, that He accepts us, and that He has forgiven us. Are you with me? The Bible says that yet when we were sinners, yet when we rejected Him, yet when we hated Him, He loved us and He gave Himself for us. Amen? Come, let's stand this morning in this place. Stand this morning in this place. Get into His presence. Get into His presence. Get into His presence. Because it's in His presence where lives are changed. It's in His presence where He will equip you, empower you, lift you up. It is in His presence where you will receive forgiveness. You will receive acceptance. You will receive love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. It comes in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It does not come by your own doing. It does not come by your own efforts. It comes through Him this morning. So there's two groups of people I want to talk to this morning. The first group is a group of people, and maybe you're here this morning and you've never come to church before. This is your first time in church. Welcome. Maybe you've been to church a million times. Maybe you've heard the story of a man named Jesus a million times. Maybe your parents are Christians. Maybe your friends are Christians. Maybe you went to a Christian school. Listen to me. It doesn't matter about everybody else. The question this morning is do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? It's not about what everybody else is saying. It's not about what the pastor thinks. It's about you and your walk. It's not about just coming to church on a Sunday and giving a little bit of lip service. He wants to walk with you every day, every moment, every hour, when it's good, when it's bad, through sickness and in health, through good times and bad times. He wants to be with you and He wants to walk with you. He is a friend that sticks closer to a brother than a brother. He is a father to the fatherless. He is a mother to the motherless this morning. And He wants to be a part of your life. When Christ died on the cross, He died with His arms stretched wide open as a signal to the world that says, all are welcome. All are welcome. Come to me. No matter who you are, come to me. Come to me. Because with you it might be impossible, but with me all things are possible. So this morning, if you're in this place and you've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, maybe you've been to church, maybe you've said a prayer, but the reality is that you know in your heart right now that you are not living for Him. He's not a part of your life. And this morning, as I was speaking, you just feel a tugging on your heart this morning. And you realize that you need to make that decision for Him. If that's you this morning, then I want to pray for you. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, when I count to three and you want to receive Jesus in your life, then I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Slip it up if that's you this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless, God bless. See those hands going up. I know that this is a struggle. I know that this is a wrestle. What will happen is that the voices in your head will start to rise up and say things to you. Don't do it. You're not worthy. Don't do it. Who do you think you are? What are people going to think about you? Hey, it doesn't matter what people think about you. It's all about what Christ says about you this morning. So I'm going to ask you to have a little bit of guts. And if you raise your hand this morning, or you know in your heart that you should have raised your hand, then what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to take your personal belongings and quickly come to the front here while people are clapping for you and cheering for you. Quickly come out of your seat. I want to pray for you. Just look at me. Don't look at the people. Just come and stand in the front. I want to pray for you. If you raise your hand or you know that you should have, quickly come. Quickly come if that's you this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Come stand here, my man. Thank you, thank you, thank you. They're coming, they're coming, they're coming. Come and stand right here for me this morning. Just look at me. You guys can just come and stand right here in the front this morning. Just look at me, please. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I want you guys to close your eyes this morning. I want us all to just stretch our hands out to them this morning, these precious souls. And what we're going to do is I'm going to say a prayer this morning, but I want you to repeat the prayer after me. Why? Because the Bible says when we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, He will save us. Amen? Your lives are going to change forever. It will never be the same. And I will be with you in eternity because you're a part of my family. Amen? So yeah, we're going to say this prayer now. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are God the Son. I believe that you died for me on the cross. I believe that you rose again. Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you for giving me a brand new start. I'm going to live for you, Jesus. Spirit, soul, and body. Amen and amen. Father, I just want to thank you for these four people in the front here. Thank you so much, Lord, for what you're doing in their lives. And I thank you, Lord, for just a life change in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. There's somebody at the back there, I think, that wants to spend a minute with you. Is there? Okay. Just go to that guy over there quickly. Just go. We're not going to do anything bad to you. Or we just want to love on you a little bit, give you something. Give me 1 minute and then I'm going to let you go this morning. I want to say one last prayer. I'm going to ask everybody just to bow their heads, close their eyes one last time. And now I'm speaking to the family this morning. I'm speaking to Christians this morning, and this is what I want to say to you. I want to say to you this morning that don't allow yourself not to go into His presence with boldness. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to slip up. But don't allow condemnation. Don't allow guilt to keep you from running to the Father and spending time in His presence. And Father, this morning, I want to come against all condemnation in Jesus' name, Lord. I want to thank you this morning that as your children, we are accepted in the Beloved this morning, Lord. I want to thank you, Father God, that we can come to you no matter how bad the situation looks, Lord. Father God, it doesn't matter what our feelings are telling us. It doesn't matter what the world is telling us. I thank you, Lord, this morning that you love us, that you care for us, and that you want to walk a road with us, Father. I thank you this morning that when we are tired, when we are weary, I thank you that you say, come to me, all those who are tired. Come to me, all those that are weary. I will give you rest, says the Lord. My burden is easy. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I am a river of living water that will be on the inside of you. Thank you for that this morning, Lord. Father, I want to thank you for peace in this place. I thank you for just an amazing peace. I want to thank you for a joy that is not based upon circumstances this morning. And I want to thank you for what you're doing with your church. Father, I just want to thank you for all these beautiful people this morning. Thank you, Lord, for just coming and just touching their lives. And I praise you and I thank you this morning that even as they leave church this morning, Lord, your presence does not reside in a building, Lord. But I thank you that it comes with us. It goes with us, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that as we go into the normal life, whenever things get too heated, whenever things get too much, as we put our focus on you, Lord, you see our faith. And you accept us as we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen this morning. Amen. Thank you so much this morning. You guys are amazing. I love you guys. Windhoek has been amazing. What a great place. I think the service is over now, so I'm going to let you go. If there's anybody that needs prayer or counseling, please feel free to come to the front. Otherwise, we love you. Travel safely. And we will see you next week for another exciting Sunday of church. Amen. Amen.